Facebook co-founder Chris Hughes has a new book out today, centered around the idea of guaranteeing all working Americans an income to reduce income inequality. In addition to his role in starting Facebook, Hughes was also the director of online organizing for Barack Obama's presidential campaign, and he's co-founder of the Economic Security Project. The book is called Fair Shot: Rethinking Inequality and How We Earn. Chris Hughes joins us from New York. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And you make it clear from the beginning that you did not come from money. Both your parents worked. Your father was a salesman and your mother was a teacher.
Money was always on everybody's minds. I mean, I have all kinds of memories of my parents poring over the checkbooks and cutting coupons on Sunday afternoons for the weekly grocery trip. I mean, we were middle class, so money was tight, but my parents made ends meet. And as an only child, my parents were important on two things as a kid. The first was getting an allowance to teach me the responsibility of figuring out what I wanted to do with that money, whether to save it, spend it, or what have you. And the second was tithing. We were a pretty religious family. Mm-hmm. And every single week we went to church, and once a month my parents would tithe 10% of their own income. And to the extent an allowance is an income, they taught me to do the same. So I learned a lot of those fundamentals from them.
And then when you were at Harvard, you were Mark Zuckerberg's roommate. You helped in the development of Facebook. And because of early investors at the age of 20, you were guaranteed $100,000. What kind of impact did that have on you at the time?
For me, it wasn't the kind of money that would mean, obviously, I'd never have to worry about money again. But at the same time, it gave me a bit of a cushion, and it allowed me to think about what did I really want to do in the years after college? Did I want to work at Facebook? Did I want to go to law school? Did I want to write a novel? You know, a lot of what I talk about in the book is making the case for guaranteed income, specifically because it does enable people to think about who they want to be, what they want to do, what dreams of their own they want to follow and chase. And, you know, $6,000 a year is not the same as making $100,000 at a young age, but it is a meaningful amount of money that can give people an important boost to their bottom lines.
You tell an interesting story in this book about Mark Zuckerberg in the early days of Facebook, and that you felt that you deserved a 10% share in the company early on, and he didn't agree.
Yeah, I talk about this conversation we had in the pouring rain. It was quite possibly the worst way to have a conversation of that kind. And I was wholly unprepared, demanded something like 10% and ended up with something like 2%.
So which it didn't work out too badly for you.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. It made it a complete failure of negotiation, but also the most successful conversation of my life. I mean, that 2% ended up 8 years later being worth nearly $500 million at the moment of Facebook's IPO. And I think that seemingly small conversations like that can have outsized consequences. And that's part of what's driving the unfairness in the economy today.
Well, but one of the things that you make clear in this book is that even though this happened to you and you got this big windfall, that this is not something that's going to happen to everybody. We can't expect that people are going to be able to fall into money in this way.
Right. I mean, for the first few years after Facebook's public offering and success, I, to be honest, thought my case was really unique. That, you know, these kinds of events where a small number of people were getting very lucky were pretty rare. And over time, what I've come to understand is that while my case may be extreme, it's not as uncommon as you might think. I mean, a very small number of people in contemporary America are getting very, very rich while everybody else is struggling to make ends meet. I mean, we know the stats, but the top 0.1%, not 1%, but the top 0.1% owns as much wealth as the bottom 90% combined. So I say all that because I very much believe that the most powerful way to combat income inequality is in many ways also the simplest, using cash, cold, hard money to help people make ends meet through a guaranteed income tied to work.
$500 a month to households making less than $50,000 a year is what you want.
Exactly. So $500, just for context, if you've got two adults working in a household at minimum wage jobs, a guaranteed income of $500 a month would boost their incomes by 40%.
And you say that money should come from the wealthiest taxpayers.
I think so. I think there's a responsibility to pay our share. And I don't think that that's happening today. I think it's really important, though, to emphasize that I'm not making the case for pitchforks coming for the rich or anything like that. I think we want to live in an economy where as many people as possible are able to win. So I think if we raised rates on income above $250,000, we could pay for a guaranteed income for 90 million Americans that would lift 20 million out of poverty overnight.
But here we are talking about this 2 months after Washington just cut taxes on the wealthy in a big way. Do you think that anything like this would be politically possible?
Well, last year's tax cut makes little sense to me and I think to most Americans, if we're to believe the polls. I mean, why you would lower taxes on corporations and the wealthiest when the median household income hasn't budged in 40 years is mind-blowing. The good news is that there will come a moment when there is an opportunity to repeal and replace the Trump tax bill. And a guaranteed income of the size that I'm talking about, $500 a month for working people making less than $50,000, would cost half of what the tax bill that the Republican Congress just passed.
So you think it's politically possible?
I do. I think that if there's anything that's coming out of the 2016 election, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, it's the sense that the system is rigged against working people. I mean, working people have not gotten a meaningful raise in 40 years, and yet the cost of living is up by 30%. And in this environment, there's an opportunity, particularly at a moment when Trump and congressional Republicans are not enacting policies that help working people, there's a vacuum. And there's a vacuum not just for people on the left, but for the broad center as well to think about new bold solutions that are based in proven programs like the Earned Income Tax Credit to really make a difference.
In addition to your involvement in Facebook, you also famously bought the New Republic. and by your own admission, that was a disaster. What do you think happened there? What was your mistake on that?
I came into the New Republic really guns blazing. It was a magazine that had existed for 100 years. And the lesson from Facebook and my work on President Obama's campaign was that with a little bit of smarts, some digital savvy, and a lot of money, the sky was the limit. So I came into the New Republic, guns blazing, trying to take the values of the publication to a new audience, millions or even tens of millions. And I learned in the process what everybody else in some ways already knew, that the New Republic was a relatively small print magazine for intellectually curious, politically minded, literary kinds of people. And while the audience very well could be bigger, going so far, so fast, was ultimately not hewing to what made the place special in the first place. So I say that if I had spent the money and the energy to think much more modestly, I think it would have been better for the magazine in the long term. And that's very relevant in the work that I do today. I think we can not let the perfect be the enemy of the good. We don't have to shoot for the fences here with a huge universal basic income of $1,000 for everyone. I'm inspired by those ideals. But when we look at the problem today, it's sometimes okay to embrace modest means to begin to build a road towards somewhat idealistic ends.
Would you ever buy a magazine again?
You know, I'm out of the media business. I learned a lot. And, I think we did some good, impactful journalism along the way. But I'll leave it to others to charge forward on that front.
I don't know if you can say you're out of the media business while I'm looking at your book right in front of me.
different kind of media.
Do you think that Facebook bears any responsibility for the election of President Trump because of the allegations of Russian meddling and how they use social media platforms like Facebook to do that?
Well, I think Facebook has had a come-to-Jesus moment. And I think Mark has said this, but I think the world very much recognizes that Facebook isn't just a platform where we go to share cute photos of puppies and, our kids. It is a place where we learn, where we engage with one another, where we debate political issues, where, in many ways, truth is shaped, is discussed, and with that comes a real responsibility to make sure that people don't just read the news that they like. Certainly, to make sure that foreign powers aren't able to interfere in our elections. And I think Mark and the Facebook team have rightly said that they should have done more sooner. The question now is, what will this year show us? I mean, is Facebook able to respond to many of its own criticisms and the criticisms from outside and reconfigure the network to make sure that it's more responsive to its civic responsibility? That's an open question. And I don't know the answer. I'm watching like you and probably many of your listeners are, but I think they owe it to all of us to make sure that they get it right.
That's Chris Hughes, whose new book is called Fair Shot, Rethinking Inequality and How We Earn. Chris Hughes, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And what do you think about that idea of a guaranteed income for working Americans paid for by a tax on the rich? Let us know at hereandnow.org.